Welcome to Milestone Moments, the show where we explore the journeys that lead to success. I'm Sheila Slick, your host and founder of 5 Milestones. In every episode, we will bring you insights from the minds of entrepreneurs, leaders, and experts who will share not just their expertise, but the milestone moments that have reshaped their journeys and led to significant achievements. So if you're looking for motivation, you're in the right place. Subscribe now and discover the milestones that mark the path to success. Welcome to another episode of Milestone Moments in Business and Leadership. I'm your host, Sheila Slick, and today my special guest is Liz Weber. Liz has been named one of 2025 top global gurus for leadership, along with Simon Sinek and John Maxwell. When Liz Weber talks, her clients listen. Liz is also an advisor to boards, to owners, and C-suite teams. She's a leadership, strategic, and succession planning consultant, author, and speaker. Liz helps her clients focus on the right things at the right time to get the right impact. And as a result, they enhance performance, profits, and their workplace culture. Welcome to the show, Liz.
Thank you, Steele. I'm really happy to talk with you today.
That's a very impressive background. I always love to ask, how did you get to doing what you did, what you do today? What was that pivotal moment that led you to this?
Well, Sheila, I think you and your listeners would all like to have that magic bullet, that straight line. But as we all know, it kind of winds. And I first heard about being a consultant in my capstone course in my graduate school. I'd been getting my degree in international business. I thought I wanted to be a commodities broker. And my capstone course was taught by a man named Jim Farrell, and he was this thing called a consultant. And I had never heard of that as a career possibility. But he was not a professor. He was not a PhD. He was a businessman. And when he explained what he did by working with his clients on all aspects of business that I had been studying, whether it was marketing, accounting, and finance, administration, logistics, production, personnel, he had to know a little bit about all of it to advise his clients. And it was in listening to him, in hearing what he was dealing with in the real world versus the theory that was in the books, he was taking the theory and applying it and sometimes twisting the theory to make it work for his clients. And in listening to him and in that class, it just resonated with me so much that, you know, I think it's something that if I can share with the listeners is pay attention to those moments when something just, it just feels right. And you don't know what to do with it yet, but it just feels right. I never forgot that. And I continued my studies, obviously. And then when I was in my first career shortly out of college, again, I was very fortunate to work in an office at the U.S. Department of State where we had a number of consultants that we worked with. So I was able to work with consultants to see what they did for a client. And I was very fortunate in that a couple of the consultants that I work with were actually attorneys and work for an attorney practice as well. And I asked them, I said, I want to do what you do someday. And they basically very nicely, but kind of patted me on the head and was like, well, that's great, but you're only 24. You really don't have enough experience yet. Get some experience and get some kicks in the gut so you can understand what your clients who are going to be business owners or who are managers that have to deal with some of the challenges that they have to deal with. So when you speak to them, you can speak from a position of empathy and not theory. And that really resonated with me. So I worked in that position for about 9 years, and then I started my own company and I started a training company because, again, one of those impact points for my job, I was attending one of those Fred Pryor or national seminar type workshops that were out there. And I remember sitting in that workshop thinking, I could do this. I was an adjunct professor at a college at the time, too. And I was like, I could do this. I already do this partly for my job. And so that's where I got the idea of starting my training company. But in the back of my head, I still wanted to do this thing called a consultant. But through my training company and working with managers doing supervisory and mid-level management training, I was fortunate in that I was in a position in the training room where the managers would share their experiences on the job. What was working? What wasn't working? Senior management wasn't hearing this. Frontline employees weren't doing that. And I was, of my own volition, I guess confident enough that I would put their concerns together and I would share them up the chain to say, this is what I'm hearing in the training room. You might want to consider X. And without realizing it, I was giving them advice. And so my training clients started becoming my consulting clients because I was getting the information from their managers. I was putting it together in a way that made sense to senior management. And I became one of those situations, Sheila, where mid-level managers were going, well, that's what we've been trying to tell them all this time. And then you come in and you tell them and they pay attention. Well, ding, ding, ding. Yes, that's true. But I was also packaging the information in a way that made sense to people further up the chain.
I love that story. And I caught myself almost with the ageism, you know, contradicting myself. Well, how can you be a consultant right out of college? I didn't know about consulting when I studied either. So in my mind, a consultant is someone that has enough, you know, knowledge, but also experience where you're coming in to solve a particular problem and share that advice. And so I absolutely love that. You made me think outside of my own box that you can have that thought even at a really, really early stage in your career. So today, what is the most pressing challenge that is facing these people that you're either consulting or training?
You know, it's really interesting because even as crazy as things are for so many people right now, a fundamental problem that has been a through line in my 30-something years of doing this is really helping people understand what their jobs are. Now, that sounds really very basic, but what I mean, Sheila, is if your title is XYZ manager or XYZ manager of this department, what are you really supposed to be doing as that manager? How much of the hands-on work are you supposed to be doing given the staffing that you have, given the technical changes, given the new product that you're supposed to be rolling out? And how much of your time are you supposed to be spending developing your team members to better do the jobs they're being paid to do? And that understanding of what, as leaders or as managers, our jobs are supposed to be and how do we do that? And then how do we communicate to those we're responsible for what their jobs are and how many of them need to more fully do the work that is part of their position responsibility that for years as managers, it's just been easier to give it to Sheila because she'll just do it and not complain. And meanwhile, we have Rhoda over here who's a great person, a lovely person, but let's be honest, is really doing about 75% of the work. And we've got Sheila doing 125% of the work. So it's a matter of really being fair to people and developing people to their full potential and not just making it easy on ourselves and overloading some of our really hard performers.
So what would be one insight or a takeaway that someone listening to you today could do if they can recognize that they're that person that's doing more of that work, that 75% that you mentioned?
Well, it's one of the things of look at the position you're hired to do and you're being paid to do. And when you look at the position responsibilities, ask yourself or ask your team, on a scale of, you know, 1 to 10, how competent are you to independently and competently do that work by yourself? And you can kind of assess that. The other way to look at it is just simply look at your to-do list or what you've been working on. And how much of the work that you've spent your time on just today or just so far this week is actually work that is at your level versus how much of the work that you've been doing is actually work that your team members should be handling, but you're just trying to help them out and get it done. And let's be honest, between you and me and your listeners, it's easier if we just do it anyway. So that type of mentality, by default, we're not allowing them to grow into those responsibilities because we think we're being nice, but we're actually inhibiting their growth and we're keeping more work on ourselves.
Now, you've also authored a few books. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've written 10 books. And, you know, I think the one that probably speaks the most to what you and I have just had a conversation about is one of the books I wrote. It's called Something Needs to Change Around Here, The 5 Stages to Leveraging Your Leadership. And it's really written for leaders of all levels. I've had great success with it for first-time leaders to actually executives in the C-suite in the boardroom. To clarify what we've been talking about is, how do I intentionally as a leader change the way I'm thinking and the way I'm behaving so I am more effective in leading my team and I can help them be more effective given the jobs that they're doing? So that's one book that I'm really proud of, and there is a free assessment that goes along with it. So if any of your listeners are interested in that, that's something that can be available to them as well.
And the primary market that you serve would be corporations, institutions, individuals, small businesses?
I'm a B2C, basically, B2B, business to business. And my industries are typically private sector companies, family businesses. I do a lot with state government. I do a lot with trade associations. And those are typically my industries that I work with. And again, I'm working with typically mid-level managers, minimum and above, quite often the executive suite, the C-suite, the owners, or the boards of directors.
And where can we find you or learn more?
So I think the two best ways to find me, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm most active on LinkedIn. And my handle on LinkedIn is at Liz Weber CMC. And Weber has just one B. And my company website is the acronym for my company name. It's W as in William, B as in boy, S as in Sam, L as in Lima, L as in Lima, C as in Charlie.com.
And before we wrap this up, what is your next milestone?
You know, the next milestone I had this year is just really continuing to go deep with my clients and help them take it to the next level. Because as I alluded to before, things are just very challenging for a lot of my clients right now. So my focus this year is to be a stabilizing force for them and help them continue or refocus on what they can do next to stabilize them, stabilize their workforce, stabilize their business, and keep moving forward.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Liz.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Milestone Moments in Business and Leadership. Until next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.